You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hiltons bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon and Shabbat Shalom. This is Pastor Ted and Wendy Campo from Aliyah Ministries International. Our ministry ministers to both Jews and Gentiles, and God has directed us to work with both camps in order to bring about a better understanding of what He's doing through His Word and what He's doing in these end times. We are thrilled today to be able to speak with you and to share from our hearts a message that God has given to us. We are pitch hitting once again for Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries while they're in a recovery mode. We continue to thank you to pray on their behalf for their health and their recovery. God is doing a wonderful work in their lives.
Oh, yes, they are.
Bringing them back into the fullness of health.
Amen.
So with that, I'm going to pass the baton over to my beloved Wendy. Go ahead, honey.
All right. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And I just like to let you know, this is WCNO Radio, 89.9 FM. And we are here on the radio every Saturday from 12 to 1. And I just like to let you know that Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, we meet at Stewart Alliance Church on Saturdays from 2 to 4. The address is 445 Southeast Osceola Street in Stewart. And that's by Martin Memorial Hospital North. And if you would like to contact Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, you can reach them at 772-285-7007. And the name of our program is called Raising the Standard. And just to let you know, if you are not near your radio, you can always download the WCNO app on your phone, and you can listen like that and take it, you know, wherever you are. Okay. And now, for those who last week might not have heard our message, what we are talking what we are talking about is the wedding of the Messiah. Now, to understand the wedding of the Messiah, and speaking in Jewish, messianic Jewish understandings, So what Pastor Gene has done is he has put together a commentary, a teaching, all about the Jewish, Messianic Jewish festivals, and the thinking and how to have that, the mindset, the prophetic mindset. So what this is you can also get this commentary, and it costs, I believe it's $25, and you can just call Pastor Gene or Pastor Donna, and you can receive that from them. Also, I'd like to let you know that they do have a calendar that's a prophetic calendar. It tells you the seasons of the festivals, because it's not according to what you read in the Bible, where you'll see the first month, the seventh month. It's not January, it's not July, but is a Hebraic a calendar of cycles, how the Jews, what the Jews go by. So you can also pick that up at a very small cost. So this, what Pastor Gene is writing about, that there's exposing the difference between the Messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretations found in most end time books. So it means the Jewish helps you understand the Jewish culture, the mannerisms, the customs, the figures of speech, the history, even the language of Yeshua's day with its Hebrew idioms. Now also you have to learn the mindset of the Middle Eastern culture. It's different than our Western culture. So it's very conflicting. You wouldn't be able to understand. You think you know what you're reading, but there's so much hidden knowledge, meaning behind it. So Pastor Gene does a great job with that. So it's really would be to your benefit to give him a call and see about purchasing that. It's a very thick commentary, workbook, broken down so you can understand it. And you can give it as a gift also to other people. And then you can have your own classes. So, okay, now to recap what we were talking about last week. Okay, last week we were talking about the 12 steps that were involved in the ceremony, and we had already explained the first one, the selection of the bride. The second, a bride price is established. Third, the bride and bridegroom are betrothed. That's the engagement. The written document is drawn up. Fifth, the bride must give her consent. The sixth, gifts were given to the bride. And now, and seven, we left off with the bride has a mikveh, and that was the seventh step. And now we will continue with the next step, which is number eight, the bridegroom departs for his father's house. And this is where, and this is where the chamber where he goes to prepare the bridal chamber. And now my husband.
So at this point, the bridegroom leaves for his father's house in order to prepare the bridal chamber for his bride. And it was understood to be the man's duty to go away to be with his father, to build a house, and to prepare for the eventual wedding. But before he leaves, though, he will make a statement to the bride. And the statement goes something like this: I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return again unto you. Well, this is the very same statement that Yeshua made in John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. And Yeshua says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way you know. So Yeshua is saying here that he's going to prepare a place, number one, but number two, that he's going to come back again, and number three, when he does, he's going to receive you unto himself, and finally, number four, that where he is, we will be there also. So he's preparing a place for us where? In heaven.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome? And he is there right now with the Father, and he's preparing a place where we are going to be with him and with the Father. Isn't that awesome, honey?
That's wonderful. Well, the bridegroom, he departs for the Father's house. So we see that Yeshua went back to the Father in heaven. The earthly bridegroom leaves the bride and goes to his father's house and prepares the bridal chamber. It's a room that is prepared in the Father's house for the bride. Now, Yeshua, he is subject to the Father. Yeshua doesn't move without the Father. He is obedient to the Father, same as we, as earthly children, are obedient to our parents. And the bride at this time, she is preparing herself. So during the engagement time, the erusine period, the groom was to prepare a place for his bride while the bride focused on her personal preparations, the wedding garments, the lamps. So she is preparing herself, beautifying herself. We, which is the bride of Christ, we, the church, we're not to be idle. We're to be active in waiting. So, as you see, the bride that my husband just read about, the bride is going to be preparing herself like the groom goes away and prepares a place to bring her to. It's not just a sitting and being complacent and not doing a thing and saying, okay, well, he's gone and I can just sit here and do nothing. Wrong. It is each and every one of our jobs to do is to be attentive, to always try to grow, growing in the Word, growing in what He wants us to be. A bride adorned in holiness with all our gems, to be sparkling, to be clean.
And so that takes us on to the next step in the process. Step number 9, the bride is set apart for a time. So before the bridegroom could go and get the bride, the groom's father had to be satisfied that every preparation had been made to go and get the bride. In other words, while the bridegroom was working on the bridal chamber, it was the father who okayed the final bridal chamber.
That's right.
The bridegroom did not know when his father would declare the bridal chamber fit and sends him to go to get his bride. And that is exactly what Yeshua was referring to in Mark 13, starting in verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man, as a man, Jesus, Yeshua, is now going to make a point by way of a parable. And he says, for the Son of Man, he's speaking of himself, is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Four different times there. You know not when the master of the house cometh back and returns, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And meanwhile, the bridegroom could come at any time, even in the middle of the night or at midnight. Therefore, she, the bride, had to be ready at all times. While waiting for her bridegroom to come, the bride had to have thought to herself, is he really coming back for me? Is he really going to keep his word? This was the very thought that Peter answered in 2 Peter chapter 3, and starting in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts.
Oh my.
And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, when God says, but beloved, listen carefully.
Look out for that
and
but.
And when he says what he's going to say next, listen carefully. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking up, looking for, and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Praise be the Lord. Go ahead.
Okay.
So the bride, she's set apart for a time. It's 12 months that she's set apart. So she has time to think, and she's wondering, is he going to come back? Now, although the bride knew to expect her groom after about a year, she did not know the exact day or hour. He could come earlier. It was the father of the groom who gave the final approval for him to return to collect the bride. So for that reason, the bride kept her oil lamps ready at all times, just in case the groom came in the night, sounding the shofar, which is a ram's horn, to lead the bridal procession to her home he had prepared for her. Now, the idiom, don't know, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. This is a Rosh Hashanah idiom. And as we said, an idiom is an expression in the usage of a particular language that is peculiar to itself. The language here is Hebrew. Now, what did this idiom mean in Yeshua's day? This was a very common idiom in Israel, referring to looking for the new moon. The new moon always determined the beginning of another month. And because the heralds, the people that were assigned to look for each new moon, did not know the exact time of each new moon, they would convey what they thought was the first sight of the new moon. It's like just barely a sliver to the Sanhedrin, which are the religious leaders. then the president of the Sanhedrin had the responsibility of declaring this new moon. Since they could not accurately determine the exact time of each new moon, Israel celebrated each new moon on 2 days. And why? To ensure that they did not, to ensure that they did cover the exact time of each new moon. These new moons were very important because each one would determine when certain appointed times would occur during the year. And the Sanhedrin would declare each new moon with these words, "We have a born again moon." With this understanding, we can now realize what Yeshua was conveying to his disciples. He gave his discourse regarding the signs of the times and the end of the age. And this, he spoke about in great depth, discussing the future, the great tribulation that would last 3.5 years. He then gave them another parable of the fig tree, which was to reveal the birthing of Israel in the last days. Not only the birthing of the nation, but also the birthing of his people into Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. At this point in his teaching, he then speaks forth this Jewish idiom of that day and hour knoweth no man. So why would he use this term at this point in his teaching? Because this Jewish idiom refers to looking for the new moon, and all of the Jewish people knew this term. They also knew that there is only one appointed time that falls on a new moon, the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. Consequently, Yeshua was giving them the exact days to know when he will begin the establishment of his kingdom here on earth. And that's Mark 13, verse 32 to 37. These events would start during the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and we are told to watch. So, as it says, as I'm going to refer back to what my husband mentioned, 2 Peter 3, verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, to make sure that we watch, to watch. We have to remember the words that were spoken by the prophets. The prophets spoke words that the people did not want to hear. But we must sit and breathe in the word. The word is living. We are to cleanse ourselves. Remember in our mikveh, we were talking about the mikveh. In Ephesians 5 tells us how we are to walk our daily lives, submitting to God's written word. It's as I was given the picture, it's like a daily planner workbook for ourselves. It's every day that we consult with that planner to see what's going on for that day, how we need to, things that we have to do to improve ourselves, areas that we might have gone astray a little bit. We need to have those white, beautiful bride, white garments, you know, bedecked with all of her, in all her splendor and all her righteousness and her holiness. So you need to consult it so that you stay on track, so that
Your lamp, your oil lamp, will be full. Fill yourself with the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Ephesians 5:26, that he, Yeshua, might sanctify and cleanse the church, us, with the washing of water, the mikveh, the spiritual cleansing. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us in all truth by the conviction of the word. As it says in Ephesians 5:27, that he, meaning Yeshua, might present it to himself, present us, his church, his bride, might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, without blemish. And there's the story of the parable, I should say, the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25:1-13. Yeshua, Jesus, likened the kingdom of heaven to this special period when the groom comes for the bride and how we're supposed to be. And I read Matthew 25:1-13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, and go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." So people, so saints, we do not know the exact second when the Lord will come, when the groom will come for his beautiful bride. Hopefully she is dressed, her oil in her lamps are full. The Holy Spirit, the word that washes in us daily, we need to replenish this on a daily basis. It will grow. It will grow. But it's time. It's time spent with him. We cannot expect to be, a bride cannot expect to be beautiful unless she takes time. It's a yearning to be beautiful for her bridegroom. Our bridegroom is Yeshua HaMashiach. And he has gone to prepare a beautiful place for us, a beautiful home for us. So we need to, on a daily basis, fill ourselves with the Word. Let the Word wash over us. Let the Word wash us. Let the Word prepare us. Let the Word, the Holy Spirit, grow us. Get rid of those things that are weighing you down. Get rid of those hurts, those painful things, those trigger words that send you, those things that upset you. Every person should be growing. Every person, no matter how long that you have been saved, just because you might have been saved 30, 40, 50, maybe 20 years, you still can learn. It's all our mindsets. We all have to allow the Word to fill us up and to bubble up. Let the Holy Spirit just bubble up inside us and just cleanse us of all that. Keep that oil in our lamps.
Yes.
Keep
yes.
the oil full. Keep it full. We don't want to be like those five virgins that didn't have the oil. You don't want to be like those ones of maybe of the church that think that they don't need to open their Bible. They don't need to wash themselves. They don't need to learn anymore. They know it all. That's not what God says. For His ways are higher than our ways.
Yes, they are.
Yes, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So we need to pay attention and get that Word down deep inside of us and remember that we are students of the Lord. He teaches us. So this Word is an instruction book for us. This Scripture, this Holy Bible that we have, our Ketubah, that this is what we need to adhere to. And I would just like to read Proverbs. Proverbs 1. This is speaking of the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear. A wise man will hear. You hear this, church? You hear this? Don't be stubborn. Listen to the Word. It's between you and God. Nobody else needs to hear what you say to God. It's a personal relationship. You need to have your oil full in your lamp. You need to have the Holy Spirit washing and cleansing you. We have to get rid of stubbornness, of old mindsets. We're a new creation in Christ. The old man has been washed away. We're no longer that old man.
That's right.
So a wise man will hear, no matter, like nowadays, young children can have words of wisdom, and they're creating all kinds of inventions. And it's like us older folks, who's like, wow, where'd they get that from? How did they know that? You can learn from a young child. So a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Yes, it is.
But fools despise wisdom and instruction. We can all learn, no matter what it is, we can all learn. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and the whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Yes, yes. So, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And so, Lord.
Yeah. So after the bride sets aside this very special time for preparation, then we go on to step number 10 in the marriage ceremony, and we see the bridegroom returns in a very special way with a shout.
Mm.
The time of the return of the bridegroom was usually at midnight. And when the bridegroom did come, he came with a shout. Matthew 25 and 6, which Wendy just repeated a short time ago, states just that. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And then, with the blowing of a shofar, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, we read, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. There comes the shofar, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, this is so exciting. This is so, so very, very awesome.
Amen.
Because this is a promise from God, and I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to it.
So am I.
We, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together. If you want to call it rapture, call it rapture. If you want to call it taking away, call it taking away. But the fact of the matter is that we are going to be caught up in the air with Yeshua and with those who have come, the dead in Christ, that shall be risen first. And we shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And saints, this is the best thing. This is the most exciting thing. This is the promise that God has made to us. This is the thing that that spurs me on and motivates me and motivates Wendy.
Oh, yes.
We as a couple every single day.
This is the coming to fruition of everything that we've been walking through.
Shall we ever be with the Lord. Saints, that is a promise forever. Can you imagine? And so, too, the marriage between the bride and the groom will take place under the huppah, or wedding canopy. And since heaven is a type of huppah, we see that when Yeshua gives a shout for his bride, accompanied by the blowing of a shofar. The marriage between Yeshua and his bride will actually take place in heaven. This marriage ceremony will have a sacred procession. And for this reason, the bridegroom, Yeshua, will be led to the huppah first. And when the bridegroom approaches the huppah, the cantor cants, he cries out, he shouts, "Blessed is he who comes." Now here we go again. We have another Jewish idiom. Blessed is he who comes, which in the Hebrew is the word welcome. Yeshua said that he would not return for his bride until these very words were said in Matthew 23:39. "For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Welcome, Yeshua. Welcome, Yeshua. Welcome, Yeshua. The groom is greeted like a king under the huppah. And during this time, Yeshua, who was the bridegroom, will be crowned king under the huppah, which is in heaven. Oh, what a glorious, glorious time this is going to be. And babe?
Oh, it's going to be fabulous. I just can't wait. This is, everything comes to fruition. You know, we'll get to see Abba Father, Yeshua. You know, we'll see all of our families. It's going to be,
saints.
It's going to be the saints. It's going to be one huge party.
And yes, it is.
It's going to be so many sights and sounds and wonders and just things that we are beyond our wildest imagination.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
It's just breathtaking. Some of us have given prophetic visions of heaven. We've been taken to heaven, and if only everybody could see what others have seen, it is just unimaginable. So the huppah, if I could say that when my husband and I, when we got married, under the huppah of heaven, and we stood out. My husband, he doesn't know why I was going to say this. We stood out at on the docks by the Stewart, downtown Stewart, and we got married under heaven, under the heaven of the huppah of heaven, with Abba Father looking down upon us, Yeshua, and it was so beautiful. And the bridegroom here, or the, I should say, the bride here on earth, she is now ready. Her wicks have been trimmed. The groom returns with the sound of the shofar, the whole procession. She now is led away with the bridal procession and goes to the groom's house, and with us
as my husband had explained, that us as the church, that we will be then taken up in the marriage, will be ceremony, will be up in heaven. It's going to be a fabulous time. But as a bride on earth, it is a time of much celebration. Everybody, everything is all set. And the bridegroom that's crowned king, Yeshua, who is crowned king under the chuppah of heaven, the crowning, that is speaking about the coronation. And the coronation is the coronation of the king is in Hebrew, ha-melech. And it's a theme, a term associated with Rosh Hashanah in Hebrew. One of the events that will take place after the resurrection or the rapture is the coronation of the Messiah, of the king, which will happen in heaven, Revelation 5. Yeshua, who had come to earth during his first advent to fulfill the role of the suffering Messiah ben Joseph, will be crowned as king over all the earth in preparation for his second advent back to earth to reign as King Messiah ben David during the millennium.
Okay, so after that, we go on to step number 11. And in step number 11, the bridegroom comes for his bride. The bride and the groom will go to the wedding chamber where the marriage will be consummated. They will stay in this wedding chamber for 7 days or a week. And at the end of the 7 days, the bride and groom will come out from the wedding chamber. This is prophetically revealed in Joel chapter 2 and verse 16, where the word of God says, "Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet." The word "week" in Hebrew is shuvuah. It means a seven. It can mean 7 days or 7 years. An example of this Hebrew word for week, meaning 7 years, can be found in Daniel 9 and 24. 70 weeks, shavuah, 490 years are determined upon the people. And then again in Daniel 9 and 27, "And he, the false Messiah, shall confirm the covenant with many for a week." Shavuah, 7 years. This week of years is the 7 years of Jacob's trouble, also called the birth pangs of the Messiah, also known as the time of tribulation. This comes from Jeremiah 30, starting in verse 5 through 7. And from this prophetic picture, we can see that the believers in the Messiah, whether they be Jew or Gentile, will be with him in heaven for this wedding ceremony that we're going to be speaking to you about next week, while the earth will be experiencing the 7-year tribulation period. So it'll be a time of waiting. It will be a time of celebration. It will be a time of coming together, the entire body of Christ will be in a ceremony modality, if you like, awaiting the final marriage supper of the Lamb. And again, we'll be talking to you about that in greater detail next week. But before we sign off today, we just want to remind you again and give you an opportunity to partake with us of this ministry. This ministry has been on the air now for over 20 years, but it takes finances to keep us on the air for another 20 years or until Yeshua returns. So if the Lord is speaking to you, and if you have been blessed by this time of sharing regarding the marriage feast and the Jewish ceremony here, we'd like to give you an opportunity to participate with us and to give a love offering. And when you do, you can make a check out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And send that check, if you would, to P.O. Box 413. P.O. Box 413, Stuart, Florida, zip code 34995. I'm sure you'll be blessed when you bless this ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. You're blessing Israel as well. For we have a heart for Israel. We have a heart for the Jews. We have a heart for telling everyone and educating everyone regarding their Jewish roots,
mm-hmm.
based upon the God that we worship, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeshua was Jewish. His disciples were Jewish. His followers were Jewish. He worshiped in Jewish synagogues. And so today, as you appreciate what the word that has gone forth over the airwaves, we thank you for participating with us. We thank you for praying for us. And we're also grateful to those of you who are willing to give to this ministry and be a part of what God is doing in this very day,
yes.
in this very time, and in this very hour. We wish you Shabbat Shalom today.
Shabbat Shalom.
The blessings of the Lord.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.